You are listening to the Better Together podcast, brought to you by the National Association of Free Will Baptists.
Welcome to the Better Together podcast, where we look at ways we can come together to help each other and support each other in the ministry. Today, we have Dr. Robert Picrilli with us. He's a theologian who worked for many years at Welch College. He was a professor there. He's also the academic dean. He's written several books on Free Will Baptist theology that I really encourage our folks, whether you be a pastor or a layperson, that you would get and that you would take those books and read them. So, Dr. Picrilli, welcome to the Better Together podcast.
Well, thank you for having me, Brother Eddie. I appreciate the opportunity.
It's good to have you here with us. And so, why don't you tell us a bit? There's pastors listening to us. There's lay people, maybe even some students. Why is theology so important today?
Well, theology is, after all, what we believe and what we teach. And it is the basis of our salvation, because our doctrine, which concerns who God is, who we are, who Jesus Christ is, how salvation has been made available to us, and what we need to believe in order to be saved, that's absolutely at the very heart of who we are as Christians. So theology is a matter of understanding what the Bible teaches and how we're supposed to be saved and to live as God's children.
And so everyone would have a theology, whether they say they like theology or not.
Sure. Theology is just a fancy word for what we believe. And everybody believes things, right or wrong. So they do have theology, but it's important to get it right and to get it biblical. Which is what makes it right.
And so we as Free Will Baptists, we base our theology on what the Bible says. And I know there's a lot of people out there that may be new to Free Will Baptists or may not know a lot about us. What are some of the distinctives of Free Will Baptist theology?
Well, I'd like, first of all, to say that Free Will Baptists are committed to the central, cardinal, basic, fundamental doctrines of the Christian faith. I think really one of our strengths as a denomination is that we are committed to those doctrines. What Christians have believed through all of the history of the church, through all of the tradition, since Jesus Christ went back to heaven and left his word with the apostles and gave the inspired word through them to us. So, actually, if you look at our Free Will Baptist treatise, which is 20-some chapters, most of them deal with the things all true and Bible-believing Christians hold to as their doctrine, such as the doctrine of God, the doctrine of Christ, the doctrine of salvation, that sort of thing. Then, of course, there are some aspects of our doctrine, our theology, that are different from some other Christian denominations, and those are the things that are distinctive, as you ask about. And so among our distinctives are things like the difference between Arminianism and Calvinism, two long-standing traditions of theological thinking in the history of the church. We believe in the freedom of the will and in the responsibility of human beings. For Calvinists, it's as though God is in such control that human beings have little or nothing to do with whether they're saved or not. But we believe the Bible teaches that Christ died for all and not just for some, and that the gospel is offered free to all and not just for some, and that individual human beings are responsible either to accept or reject the gospel and to be saved. And therefore, the Lord has created human beings with that kind of moral and spiritual responsibility to make those decisions and either to accept Christ or reject him and be saved or lost. And so that's one of our key distinctives as a denomination.
And so all Bible-believing Christians would have a lot in common with us, but free will, free grace, free salvation is a distinctive for us. When you think about, or when I think about your books, Free Will Revisited is really a good place to find that and explore that, isn't it?
Well, I think so. The subtitle of that book is A Respectful Response to Luther, Calvin, and Edwards. Mm-hmm. Luther, Calvin, and Edwards are three of the great theologians in the history of the church. There's no question about that. They're great men, good men. Mm-hmm. And each of them, however, wrote a book against the idea that man has freedom of the will, that fallen man has freedom of the will. So that sort of attacks our name and our distinctives right head on. Mm-hmm. And so I wrote the book in order to explore what they believe and why they objected to free will, mm-hmm. and then to show that the main concerns that they have are not really against the freedom of the will after all. Mm-hmm. You can believe in the freedom of the will and still agree with some of their main concerns, as they wrote. So that's why I wrote that particular book.
So these are authors you hear quoted a lot today. And we may sometimes think, oh, well, we didn't have a lot in common with them. There is a lot we did. But also there's good explanations for why we believe in free will. And you discuss that, you describe that here in your book.
Yes, that's the way it works. These three men were great Christians, no question. They mm-hmm. would have held some of the same basic cardinal central doctrines of the Christian faith that we hold to, mm-hmm. and yet they denied free will. They did so for various reasons. One of the things they were concerned about was human depravity. Mm-hmm. They thought men are just too bad, too wicked at the core for them to be able to have freedom of the will and make the choice. But it seems clear to me that even though men are indeed completely depraved and wicked and unable to choose for God if God leaves them alone, mm-hmm. yet at the same time, the Lord has worked with human beings through the giving us of His Word and the work of the Holy Spirit to bring conviction and to persuade about the truth, and then, in that sense, to make it possible for human beings who, even though they are depraved, to exercise their freedom of the will and choose for Christ.
That was a pretty unpopular view back in the day, wasn't it? And is that a bit even of how we got the name Free Will Baptist?
It is, indeed. The term Free Will Baptist was not something that our forebears chose deliberately, but they got saddled with it as a matter of ridicule. Mm. They were ridiculed as free willers, mm-hmm. Thinking that men have free will. And so ultimately they accepted the term and made it a part of their official name.
Mm-hmm. Good. And today sometimes people misunderstand what that means, thinking it's almost a license to sin, but that's not at all what we mean when we speak
of free will.
No, absolutely
not. And you're right, people can very well misunderstand it, and perhaps it does strike people as a little bit odd, mm-hmm. but it has a long, long history behind mm-hmm. it.
And a good history.
Yes, a good history.
So I'm a parent. I'm sitting out there, and I'm like, okay, well, you've got me, Dr. Piccirilli. I understand theology is important. How can I take that and instill the basics of the Christian faith? How can I also instill the distinctiveness, this distinctives Free Will Baptists have? How can I do that with my kids that I'm trying to train up to follow the Lord?
Well, it seems to me that maybe that has to be done on two fronts. Mm-hmm. One is in the local church by attending a local Free Will Baptist church and becoming a full part of all of its activities. We hope, at any rate, that the pastor and the leaders of the church will expose those children to the cardinal doctrines of the Christian faith as well as to the distinctives of Free Will Baptist. Mm-hmm. But then, of course, it can also be done at home. I think it would be a good thing for parents to teach their children mm-hmm. the cardinal doctrines of the Christian faith mm-hmm. and to share with them what the distinctives of Free Will Baptists are. In past church history, there was a strong emphasis on what we call catechisms. Mm-hmm. Families had their children learn the catechisms, and that was a series of questions and answers mm-hmm. whose very purpose was to teach doctrine. Mm-hmm. And even if we don't use catechisms, and by the way, it would be okay to do that,
yes.
but even if we don't, then there ought to be some way of doing the same thing mm-hmm. in the home that used to be done by using catechisms.
Mm-hmm. So if someone goes to nafwb.org, they'll find a Free Will Baptist Catechism developed by Dr. Paul Harrison. You can actually get it in English, French, or Spanish, and basically take those questions before your kids go to bed at night or after a meal. As Dr. Piccarelli is saying, catechism's just you ask a question, and the catechism we have there, you can read the answer, and it gives you the scripture where that's found. And so catechism is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. It means to teach, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
And so we take that time as parents to teach our kids about the Lord, the basics in it, that you'll find in that brochure, but also some of the distinctives of Free Will Baptist. Let's hear a message from the National Association of Free Will Baptists. The Together Way, doing more together. What is the Together Way plan? The Together Way was established in 1994 as a way to fund the work of the denomination. The plan provides a comprehensive approach to stewardship based on biblical principles. Unified by the Together Way, Free Will Baptists can do what no individual or local church can do to carry out kingdom work. To learn more about the Together Way, go to www.nafwb.org/togetherway. You could also call us at 877-767-7659 and send your questions about the Together Way to questions@nafwb.org.
You are listening to the Better Together podcast, brought to you by the National Association of Free Will Baptists.
Dr. Piccarelli, what about pastors? They're teaching, and people sometimes say, well, I just want it to be practical. You know, I want the messages not to be of a lot of theological or maybe even deep content. What might we say to those folks that might be listening to us today?
Well, I think pastors ought to make it a point to do theology in various ways. It's easy for a pastor to get so wrapped up in many important things that he has to do, mm-hmm. no question about that, he neglects this. But first of all, the pastor ought to study theology, mm-hmm. ought to make that a continuing thing. Get good books on theology and read them. Mm-hmm. And then I think pastors ought to preach theological messages.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I sort of see going on in Free Will Baptist churches these days is that all of the services other than the Sunday morning service are being played down, toned down, neglected, maybe
yes.
even stopped in many cases. But a pastor has a lot of things he needs to do, and it takes times other than simply the Sunday morning service.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some Sunday morning services, sermons ought to be theological as well.
Mm-hmm.
But then at other times, such as on a Wednesday night, for example,
mm-hmm.
or on Sunday nights,
yes.
The pastor can bring a series of messages on theological points.
Mm-hmm.
At this particular time, my pastor is bringing a series of messages on what we believe, and he's using the doctrines outlined in the Apostles' Creed as,
mm-hmm.
as the basis for his organization. I think pastors ought to do that.
So Sunday morning service, sometimes, you know, we all want to have visitors at those services. We often have a wide range of folks attending, wide ages. That's not enough to really get across what our congregations need. So we need to pay attention to other Wednesday night. You know, Sunday night's something that many churches do. But you've got to have a point, what I hear you saying is, where you're teaching things maybe with a bit of meat, a lot of substance to help people deal with some of the issues they encounter today.
Absolutely. I go to a church on Sunday night where the pastor uses that as a way of dealing with issues, theological issues, practical issues that he wouldn't want to deal with on Sunday mornings, and gives him an opportunity to do that with the congregation.
So, you know, issues like about gender, about marriage and so forth, all of that's tied back to theology.
Absolutely. Yes. Everything we deal with in a practical sense ultimately has a theological root to it.
It's important that we and our children be aware of that. And you mentioned also books, you know, good books that pastors should be reading, probably some good blogs they should read too. So you've got Free Will Baptist or fwbtheology.com, and we were talking about some of the blogs that are there and how they can be helpful to us individually and also especially helpful to pastors. We would encourage them to read Free Will Revisited, to read Grace, Faith, Free Will, other books that would be a good idea for pastors and lay people to read to help them to be strong theologically.
Sure. Well, the Free Will Baptist Theological Commission is the one that sponsors that fwbtheology.com. And they put out regular blogs. For instance, right now there's a good blog out that Matt Pinson, the president at Welch College, has put out about the importance of theological truths being expressed in the things we sing as a congregation. It's a wonderful piece that he's done. And then there are lots of other good books. The books that Four Lines has written, Leroy Four Lines, such as The Quest for Truth, which is a great theological text for us to have and use. And Matt Pinson has put out some books such as Arminian and Baptist and others. So, there's plenty of resources being made available for good theological study.
Before we close out, I wanted to ask you, as Free Will Baptist, what do we specifically have to offer the greater evangelical community when we think about theology? Sometimes we have a tendency to kind of underplay our importance. How can Free Will Baptist help evangelicals today?
Well, I think perhaps in two ways, but maybe the most important one is we can show them an example of being loyal and faithful to the Bible as the Word of God. The temptation in many denominations, mainline denominations especially, is to drift away from that and to become what we call liberal or modernistic, where they deny some of the key and essential doctrines of the Christian faith. And I think we Free Will Baptists can offer to them an example of being faithful to the Scriptures. And I think it's one of our strengths as a denomination. The other is, I think we can offer to the Christian world a sound Arminian theology. In the history of the church, some of the Arminian segments have been very unfaithful to true biblical doctrine, have a tendency to become liberal, for example, or to uphold a doctrine of man that isn't really biblical, thinking of human beings as being not fully depraved or being humanly able to seek God on their own, so on. And I think our what I call Reformation Arminianism, or what Matt Pinson calls Reformed Arminianism, or what Leroy Four Lines calls Classical Arminianism, and it really doesn't matter what you call it, I think we have the opportunity to share with the Christian church a truly biblically based and sound Arminian theology.
So folks talk about from time to time, going to the National Association and people arguing about different things. They'll not be arguing about some of the issues of marriage and gender and so forth that you might find in other places today. Not to disparage those, but it just goes that the Free Will Baptists really do hold on to the scriptures and try to adhere to it and follow it. And also to understand we truly do have something different. We are unique as whatever we won't determine ourselves as far as Arminians. We truly do offer something different, don't we?
I think we really do. And the reason we won't be arguing about, say, for instance, homosexual marriage or the homosexual lifestyle or other practical issues like that is because we are committed mm-hmm. to taking the Bible seriously mm-hmm. and believing exactly what it teaches in those regards. So that's where theology plays an important part in keeping us true to the traditional Christian faith and morals and ways of living.
mm-hmm. And so may we continue to train our children and train ourselves and work in our churches to make sure we adhere to strong doctrine and pass that on from one generation to the next.
I don't think there's anything any more important for us than to remain sound in faith and sound in Christian living, which ultimately means being biblically based.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's wonderful. Those are good words, Dr. Picarilli, and we thank you for sharing those with us today, and we thank you for stopping by to be with us again, and we wish you well as you continue to write and as you continue to work. May God continue to be with you and bless you.
Well, thank you so very much for having me.